Hey everybody, Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high-interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLS ConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Train up a child in the way he should go. Dr. Christian Smith is with us. Dr. Smith is professor of sociology at the University of Notre Dame. He is the author of more than 20 books, many about the religious and spiritual lives of American teenagers and emerging adults. He wrote a wonderful piece at the magazine First Things called Keeping the Faith. And Dr. Christian Smith here to talk to us about that today. Dr. Smith, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm great.
Yeah, good. Our pleasure.
Happy to have you here. Christian, I know you've spent more than two decades researching the religious and spiritual lives of adolescents in America and, you know, people who are soon to become adults. But you've recently turned your attention to study religious parenting, which is fascinating to both John and I, and of course, to a large segment of our listeners. And this article you've written from First Things, Keeping the Faith, is really has so many interesting segments. I'm sure we're not going to be able to even get to half of them. But you start out by saying that among all possible influences, parents exert far and away the greatest influence on their children's religious outcome. Tell us about that.
Yeah, when we first started studying teenagers, we didn't know what would affect, from a human point of view, what would affect their religious outcomes. And we were somewhat surprised that, although we shouldn't have been, that parents are the most important, sociological predictors of how their children are going to turn out religiously, not youth group, not mission trips, not anything else. It's parents. And if you step back and think about it, that makes total sense. Kids spend lots of time with their parents. Parents are modeling for their children, what they believe, how they want to live, what they value, and so on. And that has an impact over time in a way that I think a lot of parents don't actually realize. It's not that parents have total control and can determine it. We all know that. But parents really matter a lot.
Right. Okay. So parents, of course, in charge of walking the walk and talking the talk. You talk about the parenting style that, especially in a more modern day and age, a lot of parents just, they're not interested. They just want to sleep in on Sunday mornings, to the peril of their own child's life. Talk about that, about parenting style and how important that is.
Yeah, there are different ways that parents go about relating to their children. And the first, it has to do with how strict they are with their children, how much they sort of put down policies and enforce them, how much they have expectations and demands of their kids. The second part is how warm emotionally they are with their kids, how connected they are, how much their kids know they love them, how much they will be there unconditionally. And the parents who are most effective at forming their kids the way they are and the way they want them to be are those that have high expectations, high demand combined with a lot of warmth, a lot of affection, a lot of unconditional love. And the other types, that's what's called authoritative. The other types, if you have parents who are super high demand, super high expectations, but are cold, that's authoritarian. And that's kids with authoritarian parents are going to be less likely than kids with authoritative parents to be shaped by them, to want to follow them, to want to adopt their values. So it's not just how religious practicing and consistent parents are, it's also the general style that they have toward their children also influences this. And that actually works for non-religious parents. Non-religious parents and atheist parents who are authoritative are also more likely than other non-religious parents to turn out kids that are non-religious. So it's important to not check out from kids and just let them do what they want. And it's also important to remain, you know, close to them, warm, effective ties with them, and not just get distanced.
Yeah. Dr. Christian Smith with us, professor of sociology at the University of Notre Dame and the author of more than 20 books, many about the religious and spiritual lives of American teenagers and emerging adults. We're talking about his article in the latest First Things. Christian, I want to maybe bring up a personal example, because I think it probably illustrates one of the things you're talking about. It was a period of tension in my own personal family. I have two daughters, my husband and I do, and they're both in college. But when they were younger, I'd say all the way up until they were maybe in high school, my husband and I had a lot of tension and difference of opinion and how we should discipline them. And my husband was much more concerned with them having structure. And he was much more authority driven than I was. And I was like the soft one. Oh, you're being too hard on them, honey. How could you do that? You know, they're really trying, whatever. And and of course, the reason I'm bringing it up is I'm happy to say that we were able to resolve that over many years of talking about it. But now that my kids are older, I really see, and I've told him this personally, so it's not like I'm, you know, breaking big news on the radio, but I've told him personally, his mixture of having authority and being loving at the same time, I think has created our daughters to be the way they are. And me fighting back about that for so many years, I mean, obviously wasn't helping my relationship with him, but it also wasn't helping my kids.
Yeah. No, sometimes, especially in our culture, we think, well, kids are so independent and they have their peers, just let them be what they're going to be. And a lot of parents that I've come across have this impression once their kids turn 12 or 13, their influence on them declines. It's actually not the case. It declines compared to what it was before, but it's still really very powerful on teenagers all the way up into their 20s, what their parents are toward them and what kind of relationships they have. So it really matters, sort of the parental input and sticking with it and continuing to act like parents. But good parents, responsible parents, loving parents, but also parents with expectations and standards and rules, that matters for teenagers. We know that toddlers, you know, sometimes they lose control and all they need is to sort of be sat upon and sort of have some parameters put down and then they settle down. I'm not saying teenagers are toddlers, but there's a similar dynamic. Like teenagers, there's so little structure in some ways in life that for them to know, okay, here's what the expectation is, here are the consequences, it actually helps them.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so Krista, in your article, I was really happy to read this because, of course, Kath and I make our livings as talk show hosts on a Christian radio station. And at dinner time, we routinely talk about religion in all its various forms.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're saying if you talk routinely about religion, your children are going to pick up on that and will also embed them deeper in their faith life.
Yeah, in our survey, we asked lots and lots of questions about how religion operates in the home. And the one thing, no matter how we analyzed it, that came out as the super strong factor was in differences between families is those families where religion is talked about during the week as sort of a normal, everyday part of life, those are the kids that go on to be much more religious. So, which to say that negatively, when religion is something that happens on Sunday morning or Saturday morning or whatever, and then it's sort of it's compartmentalized, disappeared for the rest of the week, the kids learn, well, that's just a little piece of life. It's like the club we belong to, but it's not central. It's not crucial to who we are. And so really parents who talk to their kids, not preaching, but just as a matter of natural conversation, makes a huge difference in outcomes.
Interesting.
About what they believe, why they believe it, what the consequence, you know, why it's important to them.
Now, I thought it was, I circled this in the First Things article, the term you used, it's not compartmentalized to certain slots of the week. I really appreciated that because, of course, that's what we should be going for in our Christian life anyway, you know, is getting God out of the Sunday compartment or the Wednesday night, whatever compartment you have him in, and realizing that he's Lord of everything in your life and in the universe. And so being able to talk to your kids about that type of understanding, maybe that you don't even have yet, but that you're growing into, I can imagine how much of an impact that would be.
Yeah, the difference is, I mean, what really matters for kids is who fundamentally are we? Like, what are we committed to? What kind of people are we? What is our life grounded on? And if religion is something you talk about, it's a natural part of life, that communicates the importance of that. If it's compartmentalized, then what it communicates is it's kind of an optional lifestyle accessory. You know, my parents happen to do this, but maybe I'll grow up and I won't be interested. And you can sort of plug in and out of it. It's a totally different understanding of what Christian faith even is to begin with.
That's good. Okay, so then go a little further. I should say we're talking with Christian Smith from Notre Dame, where he's professor of sociology. What about the idea, Chris, of graduating from religion? Okay, so, you know, you're done with high school or you're done with college and that's it. We don't have to talk about this anymore. You're on your own. Maybe you found a church and you're good to go. You're saying, go into that.
Yeah, so a lot of religions, including, let's say, Catholicism, has various rites of passages or sacraments that are intended to be formative from infancy, growing up and being drawn into the life of the church. And many parents really want their kids to participate in that, to be educated in that, and to accomplish that. But sometimes, the kids don't really want to do it, so it becomes kind of a bargaining or a power game, like, am I really going to do this? And then it can devolve into, well, just do it for me. Or the kid or the teenager will say, it's really important to my parents, I'm just going to do it for them. And it ends up having a sense of a graduation ceremony, like, I finally fulfilled, I've checked all the boxes,
right,
and now I'm done with that. Rather than the totally opposite approach, which is these are all steps toward a deepening involvement in life of faith in the church. So I'm not saying parents have total control over that, because again, the children, especially teenagers, they have their own minds, they have their own wills. But I think it's very important, as much as possible, to avoid setting up and the conversation so that it gets framed as just do this and then you'll be done, because that's the graduation ceremony and that's the exit door.
That's good. Christian, what about, so from the very beginning of your article and First Things, you talk about the fact that, you know, parents have the greatest influence in determining whether their children are going to end up in a faith-filled situation. It's not determinative. It's not like every parent, it's not like, you know, A plus B equals C. It's not a math equation. It's not a guarantee. I've seen that in my own family over and over again. Parents are the most important thing. Now, by saying parents are the most important thing and have the greatest impact, you're not saying that there are other things that don't have impact, like youth group or like, you know, a Christian school or whatever it is. Now, you talk about what channeling means. Can you kind of define that for us and just show what that might look like?
Yeah, parents who are very intentional about forming their kids in the faith, look out for opportunities. Social scientists call it channeling, which is kind of steering. It's not forcing, but it's not hands off. It's kind of steering children, encouraging children, making connections for their kids. And kids can be channeled into a religious school if that would be good, or a youth group, or into the right. Sometimes channeling is just encouraging children to have these friends and not those friends. Or to go to this activity or that sleepover, whatever it is, it reflects an intentionality and a parents being tuned in to what are the various influences in children's lives and which are going to be good for them and which probably aren't, that kids may or may not be aware of. And so, again, it's not coercive, but it's intentional, and it's an influence. That's a way that parents...
I mean, Chris, that intentionality is key for everything, right? And especially in this really weird world we're living in, the intentionality of presenting religious faith, that's key for me in this whole conversation. Hey, Chris, we're sorry, we're out of time, but really excellent article in First Things, Keeping the Faith. Thanks for being with us here today.
Thank you very much. Yep, take care. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Keeping the Faith, Dr. Christopher Smith from Notre Dame. It's in First Things.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.